And we are back.
They don't steal my shit, though. You could start the intro, but you're using my line.
That's gimmick infringement.
I was actually expecting the Hey Party People or...
Yo, we are back.
Okay, so we're
back. Do you only have one gimmick?
I think so.
Oh.
So that said...
I've never thought about it.
Well, this is episode 132, and we talk about a lot of shit this episode, namely the Avengers. We talk about Cobra Kai. What else we talk about?
Kanye West.
Oh, I feel pretty because... So, yeah. Yeah. Because we all feel pretty.
I'm not going to lie to you. It's not one of my better funny episodes.
No, it was just...
I think it's on par with the rest of them.
Jesus. No, dude, I was on fire there tonight with Shannon in here. It's Bender. Bender, you're the problem.
That's it. Well, if you
he gets distracted by my beauty.
But if you could put...
that is true.
If you could put up with Bender's problem and you still want to listen to this episode after this whole beginning, please download and share and review it and all that stuff. And then also, like, while you're doing all that, put it on your phone, listen to it on your way to the beer sauce shop on 318 Midrivers Mall Drive.
And if you show up on a Wednesday, they have beer school there, and they are spectacular.
Well, Bender, nice. They have beer school one Wednesday a month. They also have barbecue school, whiskey school, and bottle share the other Wednesdays a month.
I just happened to show up on one random Wednesday when they had
with
beer
our
school.
Friend Kate from Craft Republic.
Oh, she was so cool.
Yeah, she's cool as shit.
She was doing Burley Weizens, which I don't really like.
And
but they were good that day.
Berliner Weiss?
Yeah, whatever.
We're fucking drinking.
Those judo Christians. She also is the biggest Britney Spears fan we know. Do that. Also, we were just talking about my buddy Aaron Conaway's book, Waking the Weaver. Buy that shit, son, on Amazon.
Yeah. So we can publish the second one.
Or go see him at CaveCon coming up in September because I will be there, and we've got to organize a trip to go pay off our debt to the Geekaholics.
Yeah, yes. Way to go, Tom.
It'll probably be one guy. I got a feeling we get there and it'll just be Charlie.
Yeah.
That's okay. Saves us some money.
It's going to have to be like October.
I'm fine with it. He'll be fine. We'll go there in time for the start of the next season.
Yeah, we'll go at some point.
We'll make it work.
I got a kid coming.
But September, I will be there at CaveCon, put on by my good buddy Josh Roberts of the Cave of the Comic Cave and Colin Bunn. And who else am I missing? Oh, yeah, you're using a bomber jacket right now. We got to get Alex on. We've said this a billion times. I'll text him.
No, we got to make a trip down there, though.
Yeah, we got to go to the city and do it. Yeah. It's a good chance for you and I to go drink.
Yeah. I'm automatically not going.
Well, we just assume you won't.
Cherokee Street is it's too liberal for you.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm not there.
You're the only one of us that went to private school.
That's true.
All right, so let's get this episode going. So, and use our... I'm not even going to plug our promo code.
Ravcast 2015.
All right, we'll do it. It should be Bombcast 15. But we'll get there. So, everybody good with all that? Are we good? Are we done?
And you're going to hear an explosion in 3, 2, 1.
You guys started and ended with stealing my shit.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, we are back, and we started there because Bender's an asshole. We're jumping right into this episode. So that said, Bender's right across from me.
Yo.
The Silver Badger's to my right.
What's up, party people?
It's a sausage fest in here today, which it's been a while, it seems, since this has happened.
Why is it a sausage fest?
Yeah, do you want to talk about it?
No, absolutely not. I want to avoid that like the plague. Like, if the plague were on steroids wielding knives, I will avoid it. Maybe even a long-range sniper rifle. I wouldn't even leave my protective abode in order to discuss it. What I will say, though, is we were just about to jump into a conversation because the Badger across from me said, you know what? I'm to the point now where I like forehands more than Schlafly.
I like how I can't even say that. Yeah.
His words.
Proceed.
So Bender agreed, and I said, whoa, man, let's go ahead and roll tape and start. Is that a thing still? Roll tape?
Sure.
That's what we're doing. And
that's what the kids say these days.
So let's find out why you feel that way.
So what I usually try to do when I buy beer is I buy local. Mm-hmm. I don't really buy other stuff too often.
Local people. Come on.
Yeah.
Podcast.
That's right. That's right. Local people, local beer.
Nationwide.
Drink more beer, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just kind of started getting tired of the – not like it's bad or anything, but I got tired of the Schlafly stuff, and I started kind of going more to forehands. I think the cans help it too.
Yeah. And it really does.
Yeah, and
especially now that it's summertime, the bottles are inconvenient.
Well, it's funny. So Schlafly was canning, and their canning machine that they were using went down, and they've had to replace it as a whole, and that that caused them a delay.
Well, and they're also they do their canning up in Wisconsin as well.
Yeah, well, and so that's what it was. It was up in Wisconsin, and then there was some issues with that. Yeah. It might not have went down. There might have just been issues. They were going to open that third facility here, and mm-hmm. that got then a lot delayed. Of things changed.
Yeah, they were looking at North City, weren't they, for that?
They were looking at a few places, but yeah, Florissant and some all that stuff was talked about, but ooh. It ended up not going through. The Chicago thing fell through, and I think there was like I just reading the tea leaves,
uh-huh.
there was a scaling back and saying, hey, because they got into some new markets like New York.
Yeah.
They were going to get a tap room in Chicago. And yeah. I think with the new leadership that they went through, I think they scaled back and say, hey, let's hold off on that. Let's yeah. get a little more infrastructure fixed.
Less,
and then let's jump out.
Less now, capital put into the groundwork and more into expansion and marketing.
And so that's why they don't have canning, because the facility didn't get built. That said, a lot of people, when they did have this major shift, I believe it's going on 2 years now,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of people that kind of jumped off the bandwagon, both there and internally, and there's been a lot of changes. Yeah. Now, that said, the reason I still like Schlafly and the reason I like they're still my favorite is because one thing that I do appreciate that they do that a lot of is very in vogue among craft brewery, and they don't do this, is they're not catchy. They don't have little fun, fancy names. They don't do all the fancy. They don't buy into the trends. They make their beers, and it's beers I like. I love their oatmeal stout. I love the I like the pale ale. I like the dry hop APA. And they do the special stuff. So I said do, you know, every once in a while and at the tap rooms. But I kind of dig that. And that's what I enjoy.
I respect that. I don't think it's fun, though. And I think Four Hands and those guys around here that are doing the fun stuff that is, you know, bouncing around. I think Schlafly is, if you were going to age them, I'd say they're in their 40s and all these other guys are in their teens trying other things. And that's fine. And I respect that.
And I would say not even Four Hands does some of the fun stuff or as the wild yeast and all those kind of things as much yeah. as like Side Project, Perennial, and those people. But they do go out on a limb and they do more variants and things like that.
I would say Four Hands is more where they do the different flavors and stuff in traditional beers, where Side mm-hmm. Project is doing like the sours or whatever the trend in, mm-hmm. like the nationwide trend is. Side Project and Perennial are doing that trend, where Four Hands stays in the ale wheelhouse for the most part, and then moves around.
I don't think you can actually say that, considering their most popular variants are the milk stouts.
I don't know. Citywide's pretty.
No, Citywide is
big. Yeah, it'd be interesting what their number one seller is.
I don't know. Well,
I don't know that it's their number one seller, but I think their most popular thing is the Christmas
stout pack.
Stout pack.
But even still, that's still a good time. And Schlafly does do like their summer packs.
So last year they started the variant or the seller collection and stuff like that. And that's where they are. But that's what I like about them. I like that I can go in there and I know that there's going to be 8 beers on tap, and there might be a couple extras.
Yeah.
One thing I don't always like about some of our, and you know, I love going to these craft beer bars and stuff that we have, but there's even Shamrocks, which I love. You know, we've ad nauseum went on about them on this show. There's times I go in there and I'm like, there is 30 beers on tap and 24 of them I don't want to drink.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I don't want a stout if it's remotely warm.
Now, to your credit, Four Hands is never like that for me. There's always something at Four Hands I dig. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a small window where Four Hands was our most celebrated brewery, and I think that's already moved to like the Perennials and Side Projects, because that's just where the industry is right now, and I air quoted so no one could see it.
Yeah.
But I still think that you're right. I think that they do just enough different to make themselves stand out from someone like a Schlafly, but I think there's something to be said about that Steady Eddie, and
I'm not knocking some of that, and I enjoy most of the stuff they do. It's, you know, it's their, you know, like their summer. What was their Yakimita wheat or whatever?
Yakima, yeah. Yakima. As in Yakima, Washington.
One of the few ones they actually can.
Yeah, which is so good. It's a great session.
Complete side note. This is a complete tangent. I mean, I know we don't do this often, right? But so Bender just said he mispronounced Yakima, Washington.
I'm just putting it in my head.
That year in comics, 1996, okay. Dusty called you out. Maybe the greatest Wait, screw up.
Where did he call me out at?
He texted me.
Oh, the greatest
mispronunciation I've ever heard Bender say. Instead of Judeo-Christians, he said Judo-Christians 3 times.
Nice. Did I really?
You go, it's Judo-Christian. I was like, and I went back after he said it, and I finally listened to it. I was like, Judo-Christian, brand new martial art.
I didn't make it. Well, we just wrote our own comic book premise right there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think you got to publish that under the label of God and I'm out.
Yeah.
All right, let's get off this Schlafly forehands thing. What I was going to say before we jump into... what's going to be some long conversation and a significant amount of it. Tom's going to be drinking heavily and not listening to it.
Yeah. Oh, great.
But that said, hey, I wanted to tell you kind of what we did yesterday. We had a garage sale yesterday.
I saw that. I've never had one of those. What's that like?
Okay, so sometimes...
Big sigh.
So it depends on what your definition of success is. This was had all the it all signs were pointing to absolute failure. Apparently, the 6 a.m. garage selling is not a thing anymore. So I woke up at 5 o'clock and started setting this thing up. I'd say we were completely set up by 6:30.
Okay.
We didn't have our first person until maybe 8 o'clock. And they bought nothing. And I bet we didn't have a sale till 9:30.
So what were you trying to sell? Kids' clothes?
Disaster insurance because Bender's dropping everything over in the fridge. Well, we always throw kids' clothes in there because we have them. But there was a lot of large items we had in the house, such as we have a big drafting table that I just don't have room for it anymore. Although I'm thinking about finding a way to tuck it against the wall down here and use it as a table for like drunk quests and things like that.
So spoiler alert, you didn't sell that.
It did not sell it.
How about that big ass trunk that somebody made you?
$140 gone. Oh. Big cedar chest is gone. We sold, we had a bunch of DVDs, a bunch of toys that
did
were.
Did you try selling your comics?
No, I don't. I mean, they're my comics for a reason. Missy did tell someone there's a lot of comic book downstairs. If you guys want me to take you down there and you can see them and buy them.
fuck you.
Yeah, and we had books out there. We had a lot of sports equipment, older sports equipment. Like, I sold this. We had this Jugs pop-up hitting tent. I'm going to get a new one, a little more easy-packed one.
Okay.
And so I consider a success because after the humble beginning, we ended up netting about $300.
Okay.
The girls made $14 on a lemonade stand at 50 cents a pop.
Oh, there you go.
So they cleaned up. So that said, I've done them where I've made like $600 and something.
Wait, so they
Overland.
They made $14? Like, we're talking revenue here?
Or sorry, 11 bucks. They made 11 bucks after overhead was paid, after the money back to me, which, by the way, that money never came back to me. Yeah,
start breaking some shins.
So, it never ceases to amaze me how many people drive by, look out their window, they rubberneck, they get the long neck, and then they just keep going. I'm like, what do they not see? Like, what am I missing? I know that guys are always looking for tools because we've had enough of these.
Yeah.
I know that women are looking for kids' clothes, but it's always the opposite sex of whatever kids' clothes you have out.
Sure. Oh, you don't have any boy clothes? How many times did you hear that yesterday?
Oh, a couple times. And then they wanted newer video games. And I even told someone, they go, you got any PS4 or Xbox One games? I go, no, because I'll trade them into where I get something back from them.
Exactly.
Jackass. Come on now.
Yeah.
So I wish that there were better stories like, this person was really,
trying to negotiate you down.
And there would have been some of those in Overland, but we're no longer in North County, so
did anybody try to haggle you at all?
I mean, they do the normal haggling. For instance, I had 150 on that chest. The guy literally had 140 bucks in his pocket, so I said, "All right, I'll help you load it up. Just get it out of here."
Yeah.
Things like that. I mean, there was a guy I offered to haggle. He was buying all my sports equipment to donate to his buddy owns this, and I don't know what their name is, so I'm a butcher, but it's like STL Baseball. It's STL Charitable Baseball or something like that.
Okay.
And they just take them to kids that can't afford them and let them at practices and stuff. And so he got $52 and he had 100 and then he had 37 in cash. And I said, just give me the 37 in cash. All right, so let's do that. But yeah, it was pretty good.
Good. So $300 and you cleared some room in your house.
Yeah, it allowed me to go see Avengers, which we'll talk about in a minute. But other than that, I also wanted to point it out that I did a real lot of traveling on May 4th for work. And all of the highway signs around the metro area had May the 4th be with you, buckle up and arrive safe you will, or speed you will not.
Yeah. When did May the 4th become a thing? Like 3 years ago?
It'd been a little while, and it's not the only thing remotely connecting it to Star Wars is that it sounds like May the 4th.
Well, I don't know if you guys pay attention to the road signs at all, but like whoever runs the road sign thing should also run St. Louis's MoDOT Twitter feed, because they always have like catchy, funny stuff.
Yeah,
like,
I've seen it of late. Yeah.
Whatever movie's out that's like the big deal, whether it's a Marvel movie or Star Wars movie, like they are on par with jokes with that thing. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's clever.
You know the person's probably like when they're tweeting and I go, hee hee hee.
So big cheers to those people. Good toast to them. But hey, there was...
We should get that guy on here.
A couple things I wanted to talk about before we get into the Avengers. A couple topic Tom brought to the table. I wanted to start with telling you that I went down a big rabbit hole of Facebook. Because, you know, Facebook has all these original shows now.
It does.
Do they?
Yeah, and they're all are in like pages, like whether it's WWE will have greatest match every other day or every day, and it'll be a full match of the greatest matches of all time.
Huh.
It'll be a Yahoo or a Facebook episode.
I did not know this.
Bill Murray and his brother are going went around the different spring trainings last year.
Brian Doyle.
Yeah, for Facebook. And there was another one I saw yesterday called Fear Pong. I bet I watched 10-12 episodes.
Fear Pong?
They're 10-12 minutes long. The theme is it's either parent against kid, exes against each other, sometimes best friends. You play beer pong. The winner gets a couple $100, but when you hit it and you pick your cup up, there could be something underneath, like a thing you had to do, you have to do as a dare.
Okay.
Where you can save, you can just set the beer off to the side if you do the dare.
Okay.
Or you have to kill the beer. So like on the exes, it was obvious. It's like let him take off your pants with his teeth.
Let him cut an article closing over. Risque.
Yeah. She got down to her bra and panty, and she bent over and did a little jiggle to try to distract him.
Oh, wow.
And they ended up, he hit the last cup, and of course the last cup was make out, have a lengthy make out, and they did. And I got to tell you, they seem real. I was convinced they were going to get back together. Mm. One of the dares the guy had to do, he had to call his mom and tell her he got his ex-girlfriend pregnant, and then he hung up.
Ooh.
Yeah, so things like that. And then like she called her brother and said, hey, me and... we'll call him Tony, you're getting back together. And he's like, are you serious? She's like, why, you don't like that? He goes, no, he's better than all your other boyfriends, but when are you guys going to really give it up?
Yeah.
And so, and then the father father versus son was a good one. And they're just...
Ooh, father versus son. I want to talk about that later. That's a tease.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just got to watch them. I mean, they're 5 to 10 minutes of your life.
Yeah.
And
so how do you get to them? I mean,
it just popped up in my feed. You know, you're out since I've been watching all these things, the algorithms say, hey, Jeremy likes watching all these Facebook things.
I didn't know that at all was a thing.
Oh, for Facebook?
Yeah.
Any page you follow probably has something, but like now there's original stuff popping up. Like those damn street magicians have their new episodes up all the time. There's one called Get Up. There's a news thing called The Cheddar Live or something. Hmm. They do news and pop culture, and it's like a weekly news show.
Oh, okay. Get Up, is that a Viagra ad?
I don't know. It's like a comedy thing also. So, yeah, they're all over.
I just assume Facebook has all my information, and I'm just fine with
it. Yeah. Oh, they completely do.
Yeah, I don't even care.
Yeah, I don't. I
mean, I'm not a serial killer.
I mean, we've already made fun of on here how the government did not understand Facebook when Zuckerberg was there. But,
it was sad.
They got it all.
I like the whole theory that Mark Zuckerberg's a robot.
Yeah.
He shows, like, no emotion ever.
I get it.
And
what do you think he's like in bed? That's it.
Terrible. I like it. Boring.
Give it to me.
Okay, I'm just going to throw it out there. This is going to sound really mean, but his wife, he could have done a lot better.
Do you think maybe, though, when they lay down, he does exactly what she wants, and she goes, how did you know to do that? He goes, it's what I do.
I know one thing.
I got an algorithm.
I've seen all your exes. I've seen the posts.
He probably likes to poke her, if you know what I mean.
Ooh.
I don't like it. I don't even have the sound.
Sometimes the jokes write themselves.
That said, speaking of bad jokes, or at least the perception of bad jokes, let's jump into the topic that you're bringing to the table with Bill Maher that you tweeted out.
Yeah, so Bill Maher on his show had a little 6 or 7 minute segment defending the movie I Feel Pretty with
Amy Schumer. Well, it was his parting shot at the end of the show.
Yep. And long story short, we just gotten... The snowflakes, if you will, are just trashing everything just to trash it.
Bill Maher is a liberal.
Yes.
And is an extreme liberal. Like
I would not say extreme. Not as sensitive. I would not say extreme.
Well, let me rephrase this. He's very anti-right.
He's extremely very anti-right. 100% a traditional Democrat.
Yes. Yeah, and I...
But he's probably more of a Hillary Democrat than a Bernie, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
He liked Bernie, though.
He did.
Yeah.
Because Bernie was for weed. Like, yeah. Basically, he is...
And Bill Maher dates black chicks, so he loves weed and black chicks. So.
He is just a you do you, I'll do me, don't get in my shit, I won't get in your shit.
He can be nauseous from time to time, but there, I gotta tell you, there was a long time where everything he was spewing, I was buying. When he made that movie...
I bought this one.
Ridiculosity or... Religious. It was a weird pronunciation of it. When he did that, that was awesome.
What was that old 80s movie that he did?
Pizza Man.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. That's incredibly amazing.
The week before his takedown of Roseanne, he didn't really take her down. Like, he basically called her out.
I'm over her, and apparently the rest of the world is too. She dropped significantly in the ratings.
Well, he had his little 5-minute spiel on her last week where he said, You know, I love you. When I took down Oprah, you were the only one that was on camera that was willing to stand next to me and say, like, you know, Oprah, like, idolizes physical things over, like, actual spirituality.
You've had my back in the past.
And you had my back, is what he said. And he goes, you helped me out back when I was down and out on my own, and you gave me a guest spot on your show and got me paid when I was broke.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but, you know, this stuff you do with Trump and everything, like, come on. You're feeding into the masses, and it's just stupid.
Oh man, I guess we could.
But is that necessarily a bad thing?
The whole thing that she falls into is like that. This some sort of like Trump broke down some sort of sex ring that doesn't actually exist.
Okay, so that's two separate things. She bought into some false story. She bought into some fake news and shared it.
And that's where she's 100% in on him.
And then
now.
She's deleted him and stuff. But she has,
so this is Roseanne the person, not Roseanne the character.
Yeah, and she has, fact, Roseanne the person has said that, and she even said, "I'm for Trump because he's different." And she goes, "We don't want Mike Pence."
Yeah,
and she said, which
I do agree with.
But
was Roseanne on Celebrity Apprentice?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I think when she went out of the limelight, she stayed out for a little while. But let's come back to this Trump thing at the end of this episode, and we'll bring something up about it. Not getting too political, but we will jump into a little bit.
Okay.
But let's go back to I Feel Pretty. So my daughter went and saw it yesterday.
Okay.
And my youngest one. She went and saw the Avengers with me.
I don't know. I'm just asking. The 8-year-old. She might be more advanced than we thought.
Well, maybe. But so my oldest went and saw it, and she liked it. She said it was funny.
And the reviews have been mixed to bad.
About like what they are for all of her movies, with the exception of the Paul Feig movie. The Paul Feig one.
Which one was that?
The one where Bill Hader.
Yes, that one.
Yeah, that one was okay.
That was a good movie.
No, that one started out really, really well, and it ended like all those movies stupid.
Oh, like Paul Feig movies tend to do, or Judd Apatow. That's who it was. It was Judd Apatow.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a Judd Apatow movie.
In defense, though, it is very hard for a comedy to pull off that third act.
I don't know. I think good comedies can pull it off. I think the comedies that...
I think it's hard for a romantic comedy to pull off third act.
That's a good way.
The real world comedies that Judd Apatow does are either he is nails it, or the majority of them fall apart in the third act.
Yeah, you know? they fall into the traditional tropes.
Knocked Up was a rarity. It was solid all the way through.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Funny People, the stand-up comic one...
Funny People.
Yeah, not good.
40-year-old version has a good third act.
Oh, 40-year-old version, solid. This is 40, awful third act.
I never even watched This is 30. Did he 40. Do Forgetting... No, he didn't do Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
He's got a brand new serious film coming third act. Out, too. But,
I think that one works.
That is a good one, yeah.
It falls in the tropes, but I think it falls in the tropes well.
But I don't think he did this movie. Let's get a little bit into this movie. Like you said, the extreme snowflake liberals, which I hate that word because I'm more liberal. I'm more moderate. We've talked about it. We all are. But I hate the people that just... I hate when the people on the right just say, if you're not right, then you're a snowflake. But in this instance, Snowflake may be a little too tough than for what they are. Maybe the description should be, what's wimpier than a snowflake? I mean, I don't know.
I just feel like a lot, and basically the crux of the whole little bit was that everything now is being torn down. And it's the best quote of the video, and I posted it to our Facebook page, is, you're just pissed off because they made the movie that you didn't want to be made.
Yeah.
And everything can't be for everybody.
Well,
and that's why comedy is suffering so bad now.
Explain to me why it is that things have to apply to everybody. Because more than ever in this world, we are in a spot to where you can find exactly what you want, and you can live there. Why are people up in arms when something is made that's released to the public that it's if it's not for them, then get over it?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. One, it's not everybody. It's a very vocal minority that we as a society are thinking is what the majority thinks. That's not true at all.
You know, unfortunately, though, this one has been some notable news publications, newspapers, ripped it.
Which one? The
New Yorker was against
it? Wait, oh, yeah. No, yeah. It, to me, the thing that he said most that stood out to me was barking at nothing makes people not want to listen to you.
Yeah.
Right. And then I read, like, when you posted it, I went and I immediately went into the comment section. And right away, a lady's like, what do you mean barking at nothing? Dogs do this, blah, blah, blah. And this guy was like, I don't think you understand what he's talking. And it just fell right into it. I'm like, and it immediately fell in the lines of people are like, I'm offended by this, blah, blah, blah. And other people are like, you are falling into the exact point he's making.
So the ultimate bark at nothing, though, and the ultimate ridiculousness of this whole thing was the Independent who reviewed the movie based on the trailer alone.
Yes.
And they said
that's
bad. They said it exhausted them. And like he said, if you're exhausted by a trailer, you have problems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, I tell you, like, I love when he said, you know, jokes can just be jokes. And I've said this I said this a few weeks ago on the podcast. I think you were on it then, too. When Ken Calcaterra was on here, if nothing is funny, then everything's funny. The moment we start saying everything's off limits, I got to tell you, everything's fair game.
Yeah.
Because that's the way the world works. And I really, really, really hope, and jeers to fucking Amy Schumer for going on The View and apologizing for
She shouldn't have pulled back. And that was ridiculous and down. Stupid.
She goes, the movie was written for me, made for me. I'm a producer on
the
movie.
She produced the movie.
So it's me. I didn't make a Tiffany Haddish movie.
She portrays the character, as far as I can tell from the movie, like, she's not the atypical, like, supermodel type. Like, she's a normal human being body type.
And the social justice warrior / commentator.
At the same time, like, what do you expect her to do? She's put on this show and she's getting lambasted for this, and she just...
What do you expect her to do? She's in Hollywood. She makes movies.
No, you own up to it. I think she should have been like Michelle.
Oh, you
Wolf
mean about
said,
the apology?
Yeah.
No. I absolutely expect her to just come on and say, "Hey, I produced a movie for myself."
Yeah. This is about me. This is how I might feel.
I think when you start apologizing just because the vocal minority are being loud, then you just create
the other
more
thing is,
voice
like,
for them.
I think it's easy to. Obviously, we don't know what happened if she knew that these questions were coming, but when you're put on the spot like that...
They'd already popped up. I think she went on there with a prepared statement to...
No, I think what I would have said is, this movie was kind of a reflective of me and, like, my comedy, and if you've watched her show at all, like, she's always made fun of her own personal body size and her fluctuations with weight.
I think
that was another thing, too. The social justice warrior on Twitter that said that just because you put her in a ponytail and don't wear makeup, now she's ugly. And I think she's a fine-looking woman. I do.
No, she looks like a normal human.
But she is not considered sexy in Hollywood.
No, she's not a supermodel.
The fact that now women on Twitter are going after her for being too pretty, like, holy shit, did we just become the most catty bunch of people?
Well, like Bill Maher said, like, I watched the whole thing, and he's like, and you guys celebrated Gal Gadot, who is
a supermodel
size. I mean, and Wonder Woman is a great movie, and, like, don't get me wrong, but she is, if you're going strictly on looks alone, Gal Gadot is, you know, if you're strictly going on looks on between the two characters,
she's one of the prettiest
women
in the world.
She's 10, and Amy Schumer's a 4 in that situation. I'm not saying that, like, personally my beliefs, but I'm just, you know.
But let's step back and break this down, though. Feminists and women in power movement, which I'm a feminist because I have nothing but daughters, but they were celebrating Wonder Woman, a movie about a woman who was perfect looking with exceptional strength, invulnerability, and warrior training.
Yeah.
Okay, all the advantages in the world. They were celebrating
pretty
this
much
film.
White privilege.
They shit on a film about a slightly overweight girl that gets confidence about dealing with what
exactly.
She looked like. What is wrong with that picture?
If anything, you should have been offended the fact that it was basically a Shallow Hal remake.
Yeah, without Tony Robinson and his banana fingers.
Yeah.
His sexist remarks. And, like, you know, if we're going to stay in this whole women getting shit on this week, like, last week Michelle Wolf had
story about your personal life.
Hey,
ooh. I mean, that was like one thing. I paid a couple dollars for it. I won't do
to
it
to your
again.
Wife.
No. Oh, Jesus.
Shh. Yeah. I don't know about that.
She's not gonna listen.
No, that was gross. I would never do that.
Anyways, no, like the Michelle Wolf thing. Like, I think Amy Schumer should have been like Michelle Wolf and said, like, I'm not apologizing for not.
Yeah, going. Kudos, Michelle Wolf. You asked a comic who is not a shock comic, but a comic that.
No, she's pretty shocked.
I watched her stand up. She's not shock comic.
She don't hold back though.
Okay,
that's not shocking.
That's the problem. See, we can't be so sensitive. And I'm not claiming you're sensitive.
No, I'm not.
But because of how sensitive everybody is, now she's a shock comic. But Andrew Dice Clay was a shock comic.
But what I'm saying is,
Hickory Dickory Dock, yeah. Come and sit on my cock.
Yeah, but those are her comedy has always been poignant and.
She's not Michelle Lampinelli.
No, she's not. Like she's not.
Or Lisa Lampinelli. Yeah, Lisa Lampinelli. Yeah.
She's not going to take the easy joke. She's always on point and she's sharp. Like she cuts and that's what she does. And if you don't buy into it, don't fucking hire her.
Yeah, there's a difference between.
And Amy Schumer's along that same line.
Yeah, watch her stand up. This is her.
I think we're a long way away though from her show. That was what, 6 or 7 years ago now.
Yeah, no,
I think the Schumer Project.
I think her window is closing.
I think she's just.
I think she'll move into producing like Tina Fey does, and she'll produce things less.
Oh, I'm sure she already has. I think that,
and that's why I kind of feel a little sorry for her, is she's now got to that A-list, and I think it's really hard when you get to that A-list to remember your roots. And that's why she kind of maybe came off a little wimpy and apologizing to The View.
You know,
same thing with, I can't remember if we talked about this or not, like, Hank Azaria, another guy who's a great comic who's been put on the defense lately.
We haven't talked about the Apu thing, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. We haven't talked about that. In fact, that just really came more to a head in the last couple weeks, right?
Yeah, yes. The Simpsons had a backhanded apology.
Even Matt Groening said, I'm not changing it.
I mean, like, you can
acknowledge it. Then Hank Azaria went on Stephen Colbert and kind of said, hey, if they need me to walk away, I'll walk away.
Yeah,
but
I think
my problem with the whole Apu thing is Apu is one of the most revered characters on that show. Like the problem is
he's beloved, but he's beloved by the white fan base, and that is a problem for people.
Likes because of his little stereotypes, or is he liked because people actually like Apu?
He's liked because for near 20 years, that show has been sharp and cleverly written and funny, and so people like him. That's it. But because we're in this world, because we're three white guys that think he's funny, he's got to be racist.
Well, that's like, the other thing that popped up on Twitter this week. And like, there was a girl in Ohio who went to prom in a traditionally Chinese dress.
Yes.
And internet like fired up on her.
But Chinese people were like, good job.
Yeah.
And that's happened before.
Is like, she didn't show up in like traditional geisha whiteface and wasn't like racist, like running around.
Yeah,
saying,
if she
like,
would have shown up like
slang,
a geisha, like, a submissive,
she wore a silk dress of flowers.
Yeah, if she would have shown up as a geisha, that's a submissive cult person who is abused usually by their male keeper.
Yeah,
that's not what she was.
Like if she would have ran around like and was like making fun of Asian culture, that'd have been a different story. But like she just liked the dress. To me, like I thought about this the other day, and I was like, if you walk into a Mexican restaurant or a Chinese food restaurant and you enjoy the food, like if you wear a dress that is inspired by Asian culture, that's the same as like eating Chinese food.
Cultural appropriation.
Like it,
I think it's just called a Chinese restaurant, not a Chinese food restaurant, but go on.
Or a Mexican restaurant or Asian restaurant whatsoever. Because you enjoy it, and I think that's a good thing.
You can't celebrate another culture without being shit on now too. That's just the way it is.
But it's just white people. Like we can't.
Yeah, it's true.
And we're shitting on each other. We're just shitting on each other. There is like legit things that we do that are shitty. To like you know like there's still stereotypes for being brown in America that like we can address. But like stop barking at the little things like wearing an Asian inspired dress when Asian people aren't bitching about it.
Or wanting to see
black. Change the name of the Cleveland Indians. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Or
Washington Redskins.
Or wanting to see Black Panther on opening weekend. Remember that?
Exactly.
Can't do that. That's disrespectful. Stop. Unbelievable. Here's my money. The most ultimate respectful thing I could do for you. Let's throw money at it. Let's get another one made.
Well, I think we have a problem with minorities in this country.
We do.
They all suck. I'm taking Missy's spot this week. No, but minorities wanting to celebrate their independence of their and what makes them unique, what makes them colorful. And then when other people or other groups, enjoy mainly it. Whites, want to enjoy it too. Well, no, that's our thing. You can't have it both ways.
Well, you can't. There is such thing as cultural appropriation or whatever, where you're just taking it and not paying respect.
Riff-raff.
Like Elvis, for example. You can make a thing of Elvis. He didn't pay respects to...
He stole a lot of black music.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're paying respects and you're doing your honor, that's fine. But... You know, don't try to take it and, you know, sell it up from nothing.
In Elvis's defense, that was the Colonel mostly stealing all that music and saying, Elvis, these songs are great. Okay, Colonel, I'll do it.
An example of me, to me, that I think is an asshole from that is, Kid Rock, who came up saying, when he was first coming up, he was like, oh, I was a white dude in Detroit. I played mostly black thing,
black
clubs. Yeah. And, you know, I came up in this thing and I was an outsider, blah, blah, blah. And now he's like, super right wing, just hardcore.
Should I run for president?
Obama's a terrorist, sorry. Blah, blah, blah shit. That to me is something to be offended about.
I just mentioned the rapper Riff Raff earlier, who, by the way, was a reality star before he was a rapper. That looks to me like cultural appropriation.
Yeah, that's just being an asshole.
Yeah, I got to tell you, too. I don't even want to utter the sentence, but I have some black friends that, have more
friends, plural.
Yeah, ooh, a couple of, and they.
I'm a brag.
That's pretty good for the Midwest.
They don't dress like Riff Raff. You got also too when you claim a cultural appropriation too. Make sure the stuff you're appropriating is worth appropriating because Riff Raff's grill, his white dreads, his. But Sagan, it's not a good look.
So they don't dress like Riff Raff the rapper, not Riff Raff as in a general term.
Yeah. Gotcha. He was both. They nailed it all at once.
Like, if there was, that old Dave Chappelle skit where they were, they were going to do, the race claims, you know, where, the Asians got Tiger Woods and, you know, all that
stuff. Yeah.
I got to tell you what, there's
a Riff Raff shirt, I'm going to be like, no bids. Zero bids.
There was a guy, there's a guy right there in Dave Chappelle that, now, I do not agree with everything he says, but there's a significant amount of things where he's just like, lighten up, man. You know?
Yeah,
you just
100%. Yeah. Like, if you go back and look at his stuff that he did in 2000, if more people would have taken that to heart, just to lighten up, I think we'd be better off.
All right. So that was
Chappelle for president, 2020.
It's going to be tough to run against Tom Hanks, man.
And Kanye.
Kanye. We're going to get to him in a minute.
Are we really?
Yeah, I want to talk about him. So, Avengers. You and I saw it. We've got to talk about it.
Okay. Let me ask, what did you think?
We'll start with our rating and then get into why. You go first. Or do you want me?
You go first.
I'm going to give it a 6 out of 6 on a 6-pack scale.
I was going 5.
And I'll tell you why. And I've read the people praising it, and I've read the criticisms.
I cannot find criticism.
Oh, there's a significant amount. If you look at the top reasons why it wasn't a good movie, a lot, too much exposition, too many characters, too much of a jumbled mess.
No, I think they handled all that so well.
Hold on. You know what they handled it like? It was exactly like an epic multi-title comic book crossover.
Exactly, and that's...
It's what it's always been. These have always been comic books. And
so good.
It read just like it. Here's the thing. The poignant moments, we're not going to spoil them. The poignant moments, and there were 1, 2, maybe 3 big ones. They were big, and they felt weight. There was weight to them.
At the end, it was so heavy.
The fights were good. If I had one criticism on my end, is Cap wasn't Cap enough. There was
My criticism would be, I don't think it was Cap wasn't Cap enough. There just wasn't a lot of Cap in this
movie.
Right,
that's right.
It was it was a Tony Stark and a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, for the most part. They were the lead characters, and Cap was secondary, which I'm fine with.
And you know what? And a lot of criticism, and this is a slight spoiler alert, Bruce Banner carried a lot of this. Not the Hulk.
Really did. Yeah.
Not the Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell you what, this is one thing. Mark Ruffalo's a great actor.
Yeah.
No way around it. He was awesome.
He's just so charming.
He is so charming.
It's the curly hair.
And he was the wimpy charming in this, too. And he was great. He was great. I didn't like Tony Stark as much in this as I have in other movies. Maybe if there's enough.
No, I agreed with Tony Stark all the way through.
It's not that I didn't agree with him. I just think that he was very. I think he was. It almost was like for a guy that's got the sharp quit wit and he's a little offbeat and stuff. He was very negative from the very beginning.
No, but if you go back and you watch the other movies,
I've seen him.
I know, but he says in here, I've been dealing with this for six years. These demons I'm dealing with. And he played that character well. Yeah, he didn't want Peter Parker on the thing. He was trying.
I'm over that, okay? I'm over that. You gave him a good suit. He's stronger than you. He's one of the best fighters in the world. And I get that he's still young, yeah. But you've seen the things he can do.
But he's a protector.
And they did.
But he's still a dad.
And
he's
that's another good moment. Well, he's not really a dad.
But he's being a father type.
And I'm going to say something here that's going to make a lot of people mad, too. I don't like the suit.
The super spider suit?
Yeah, don't like it. I didn't like it in the comic books.
I think it worked out well.
I want him to be. I want it to get damaged beyond repair so he could just be Spider-Man.
I think he will in the next movie.
Captain America has to get a shield back.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And
100%.
And my last thought on the film is they did something I thought was impossible. They created the biggest bad guy in the history of movies.
Yeah.
And they made him likable.
Yeah. And there's a whole article on.
Some people say he's too likable.
Yeah, I mean, his theories are not on...
So, to not ruin it for you, or not ruin it for everybody, and this isn't... He is out to kill half the universe because his planet...
So the rest can thrive.
Yeah, his planet was getting overpopulated, and he was going to do a random draw to murder half the people, and he showed them why it would save his planet. They didn't listen. His planet died, so he went on a mission. He went to every planet, and he was killing the exact amount of people that needed to be killed for that planet. So he decided to do that for the whole universe. And once there was perfect balance,
doesn't he in the comics like? Isn't it like he wants to make death like?
Yeah, he's in love with
he's
death.
In love with death.
That, and he can't die.
That doesn't play in the films the way it would did in the comics.
But there's an actual death in the comics that he's in love with, and he cannot die.
She's a sexy
die.
Woman, so
yeah,
so, like a skull, big boobs, basically.
Well, when other people see her as a skull, he sees her as a woman, as a really pretty woman.
Yeah,
so.
Gotcha.
I think that they did a spectacular job of tying in 10 years of movies together. They, you know, slight spoiler, but the Red Skull shows back up.
I gotta tell you what, the guy that played him was awesome too.
Yeah. Well,
was it the same guy?
No, it was Hugo Weaving was the original. Hugo Weaving has now been in the Lord of the Rings, The Matrix. He said he doesn't want to be a part of another franchise. So it was Aaron from The Walking Dead, the guy who plays the gay character,
who's
a noted celebrity impersonator. So he does his best Hugo Weaving in this.
Oh, he did a good job.
Yeah.
And
a lot of people are calling him Yoda Skull or Red Yoda because he's very much a Yoda-type character in it when they see him.
And his callback is that the Who Killed the Watchmen from Jason Aaron... wasn't Jason Aaron. It was
Hulk. Or what's
it
called?
No, it was the Watcher, when the Watcher dies in the Marvel comic, Nick Fury kills him, and he
kills the Watcher?
Yeah, in the comics. And his punishment is to be replaced, so that Nick Fury kills the Watcher because he was mad at him for not interjecting and stopping major world-ending events.
Too many crossovers, bang.
Yeah, he's not stopping world-ending events, and when he killed him, his punishment by other watches was to become a watcher. So he had to stand there and watch. And in this movie, the Red Skull's thing is he wanted ultimate power and wanted the Infinity Stones for himself. And his job is to stand over him and watch him and can't do anything. Ever obtain the power.
He's to give answers to everyone coming there with questions.
But he can never get him
but
himself.
But he can't get it himself. Yeah,
yeah, and expect.
And
just,
that led to one of the better. I think.
So he's a tweener?
No, he's nothing. He's a guard. He's a watcher of that
he
stone.
He just stands
that's
and
it.
Looks. Yeah.
He can't do anything to the people, and he can't take the stone for himself. So.
You can ask him questions, and he can answer them for you. Like, and that is the best scene. Like,
I think that's the best scene in the film.
For a CG like character that Thanos was, like, you felt it.
I think that's the best scene. I think the Thor with the new weapon,
Peter Dinklage, that was a good scene.
That's great when he gets it. A lot of people are shitting on Peter Dinklage in the movie.
Why?
Saying that, I don't know.
I thought he did a good job.
Peter Dinklage played a giant character.
He played a giant dwarf.
Yeah, a giant dwarf. He was bigger and taller and more massive than everyone.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's Peter Dinklage.
What character? Comic book character.
He's the guy that creates the weapons, the Mjolnir and all the
he's
Asgardian
a dwarf
weapons.
In the, he's an Asgardian dwarf. So,
he's a weaponsmith is what he is. Gotcha. Yeah, he's the blacksmith and weapons forger. I think that was a great scene. I think it's loaded with very good moments. One of the criticisms I read of it was the moments were just a bunch of moments that didn't have as much weight as they should. And I argue, no, they did something impossible. They made weighty moments with There's 30 fucking people in this film.
Yeah.
I mean, 30 people.
They spread them out. There was not too much.
Everybody gets their in a wrestling match. It's a battle. It's a Royal Rumble in which everybody gets their shit in, is what it is.
They brought in five new characters,
including Thanos. Yeah.
Yeah. Five new characters that you were just as interested. Like what is his kids' names or whatever they call them?
The Ebony Maw.
Yeah. Like, the one who had Doctor Strange was so fucking interesting.
Oh, by the way, that guy, two things. That guy was mega powerful that took on Strange and all of them, and he was and put Thor in his place. And they killed him in a smart way. I get it.
Yeah.
And two, Doctor Strange flexed his muscle in this when he went toe-to-toe for a brief moment with Thanos.
Yeah.
And that was awesome.
Yeah.
Because they forget, Iron Man said, I won't let you do that again. Here's the thing. If Doctor Strange wants to put Iron Man in his place, Iron Man's in his place.
Yeah.
That's how powerful Doctor Strange is. And he's coming. He wasn't in his film
because
it was the beginning of him.
Yeah.
And in this film, he's ruling some ass. And he does a real clever thing. And this is a slight spoiler. But that spot that when he goes 14,650,000 times into the future to see all the possible outcomes, and there's only one in which the good guys win, he pulled a fast one on that.
Yeah,
because he smirks when he gives him the stone.
Yeah,
because he just ends up.
Oh yeah, he saw it. Yeah, he's like, this is the only
and
way.
He tells Tony it's the only way. When Tony sees him before somebody dies, he goes, "We're in the end game now," and that's the name of the next one, Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, my only complaint is,
so they're gonna be new characters in the next one that'll
Captain Marvel. That's a slight spoiler, but go stick around through the credits. We already know it's Brie Larson.
Everybody knew she was coming. Yeah,
although, is she pretty powerful?
She's basically
Superman.
She's Superman light. No, but in the movie she's going to be.
Yeah. She's,
why did they get like Black Bolt? He's like a game changer.
Oh, because they can't put Black Bolt on TV because he kicked everybody's ass. He's one of my favorite characters. I got his bobblehead over there.
He's imbalanced. He's so powerful that it doesn't structurally work. He's
and they're gonna make Captain Marvel super powerful. She has one thing that does make sense in the films. She can absorb energy and shoot it back at you.
Yeah,
she can fly. She's super strong. She's super tough, not invulnerable, but near invulnerable.
She's a Kree, right?
She's a Kree warrior. Yeah. She's part Kree, part human, Carol Danvers. And she is, I'm trying to put her on a scale that would make sense to you. If Hulk Hogan in the 80s was Superman, she would be Macho Man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So she's strong, but she's not the big dog.
Yeah.
Why don't they bring in Silver Surfer to take him out?
Because they just got the
Fox.
Yeah, they're still not finished with that deal. So,
oh, they don't have the rights to him.
Not some cinematic. They don't cinematic rights to him.
Gotcha.
But they might before eventually, too long. Yeah. While they're still.
So who does Fox have? They have X-Men, right?
X-Men, Fantastic Four, and anything related to those.
Universal has Namor.
Universal has Namor?
Yeah. They're the only one that Universal got was Namor.
Weird.
Weirdly,
talking about
right?
A short straw.
Yeah.
And they've never done a movie with him, have they?
No, because he's nobody likes Aquaman. Why would they like the other guy that's kind of a ripoff of Aquaman?
With wings, what is it? With wings on his feet and he lives in the water. What the hell's the point in the wings?
But he's
an
Inhuman, right?
He's Atlantis. No. He's from Atlantis. He's an Atlantean.
But isn't he like a top 20 most powerful?
In the Marvel Universe, he's up there. He can whoop a lot of ass. Yeah.
He's just a really big dick.
He's a Thor level guy.
Yeah. Thor like really carried this movie. Like
that was also another great scene, and I think that's a scene that no one's talked about is when Rocket Raccoon says, dude, you've just experienced the loss of your brother, your people, and because he's been jokey through the whole thing, and he starts to almost cry, and he doubles down on making a kind of an a light-hearted comment to suck it all back in.
Yeah, he's like, you know, my brother's died before, but, you know, I think this time might be actually for real.
Yeah, and I got to tell you this. For anybody to go and see this movie, Hayden went and watched it with me, and she loved it.
So and Loki dies is what you're saying.
Everyone dies. Yeah. Everyone dies in this film. Now, some will come back, but other deaths seem pretty permanent.
So. There was battles in this that, like, my butt was puckering a little bit. I was like, ooh, I don't know what's going to happen. It's so exciting.
Someone's about to die.
Yeah. You know? I guess that was my only complaint that, like, no, there wasn't any, like, super real deaths. Like,
So we're not going to spoil it, but I think the one we just talked about, I think that was a real one.
Yeah.
I think I think some people aren't coming back from the ending.
Yeah, I think by the end, Cap and Tony are gone.
Yeah, or yeah,
their contracts are up
somehow. Yeah,
Chris Evans has said he's not coming back,
and he doesn't need to.
No, I think it's
Bucky could be the next cap, or could he? And with that, we're going to end this talk. Yeah.
That was so good.
I snapped my fingers in this conversation. That half the people just left our podcast. Yeah. Look,
come on.
So let's. Anyway.
It was so good though. Like I was. So
I gave
excited.
It a 6 out of 6, and here's what it, my final thought on it for you, and I'll let you do a final thought too. It was not the best Marvel movie. No. But what it was a thrill ride from the beginning to the end like no other one has been. Yeah. And it's exactly what you get when you combine every single character in your franchise together.
I think
they pulled it off. The Russo brothers pulled it off.
I think a 10-year buildup on ups and downs, but an overall
2-hour and 30-minute ass whooping.
Yeah. And an overall like 10-year buildup and to like put characters in there and give everybody their own equal time on scene. Was just spectacular. It just worked. Everything worked.
Like my analogy to Tom, it's a wrestling match with a bunch of moving parts, and everybody got their shit in. They got their special moves.
And it felt like a comic book. It really did. If you didn't like it, it's because you don't actually like comics.
It felt more like a comic book, I think, than any comic book movie today.
Yeah.
To me. So I gave it a 6. He gave it a 5. That averages out to a 5.5. Tom's undecided, so his vote is automatically thrown out.
Did you guys
out.
Ever see Super Troopers 2?
Not yet.
No. Ugh. Was it any good?
I liked it.
Give us your review.
He did. You got to listen to the last episode, Jack.
I didn't listen to the last one all the way through.
He gave it a 4 out of 6. He said it's like going back and seeing your favorite band from high school. You like all their hits, but you won't buy their new album.
Okay.
But that said, 4 out of 6.
That seems accurate.
Yeah.
Oh, they bring up almost every bit from the first movie. Nice. That you were
Is the fire hydrant bit in there, like the ding. Ding at the very end, like the
No. When they're playing Duck Hunt with the guy going back and forth.
No. Like where they're throwing stuff at him, he goes ding ding, and then the fire hydrant comes flying through and he like misses and he goes,
what the fuck? All I can say is the end credits is probably the funniest part of the movie, but I can't.
We won't talk about it. Hey, would you say Broken Lizard, everybody got their shit in on that one too?
Oh god, yeah.
Hey, so anybody got anything else before we go to our parting shot segments? Because we're getting close to an hour, but do we have like another real long topic to dissect, or should I just bring up Kanye right
now? Can we talk about Cobra Kai?
Yes, we can talk about Cobra Kai.
Because it is awesome.
Well, and here, I got to give you props, by the way.
I liked your takedown. I liked whole breakdown of it.
And I don't know if you know this. You're in danger sometimes of being way too negative. But that was the first positive thing you've posted under the Facebook page.
Oh, well, sorry I'm so negative.
You get pretty
down.
That's kind
of your thing.
Yeah, that's your thing. Oh, yeah.
It's funny is because I was told I didn't get a promotion at work because I was too negative in my interview.
I
guess I got
to
work on that.
I don't want to agree with the people you don't like, but I might have to agree with them. But yeah, that was a good review. I thought it was a well-constructed review. I thought you made up a lot of points. I wanted to ask you one thing about your review.
Mm-hmm.
And I want everybody. I don't want you to rehash the review because I want people to go to the Facebook page and read it.
Yeah.
I want you to get. I do want you to give your overall rating again too. But I want to ask you: did you go back and watch Karate Kid again before this?
No.
Okay, because
I watched like probably 20 minutes worth of like highlights on YouTube, like the big scenes.
Yeah.
But if you watch the show Cobra Kai, you're going to see about 20 to 30. Okay,
because you said the Calcaterra episode that you didn't think the movie held up that well. I think it holds up amazing.
I don't. It's okay.
I agree with him.
I think it's great.
When I go back and watch it now, I'm just like, eh.
I think the big part of it is because Daniel LaRusso is kind of just annoying.
Yeah, I get that. I could see that.
Like, he's not a protagonist, so you're really... I mean, you don't hate him, but I think the two
problems... You're not really rooting for him either.
The two problems of the Karate Kid original one are, he's kind of annoying, and there's definitely something sexual going on with Mr. Miyagi and Daniel LaRusso.
Oh, I don't think that.
There's really not. I'm joking.
Yeah, I mean,
that was a joke. That was a joke. Okay. Now, if you see Karate Kid, like, 2 and 3, it gets weird.
Yeah, right? Those are a little different.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Karate Kid 3 is just a terrible premise.
Oh, Karate Kid 3
is he still in it? Or is that
no,
the one
it's
with
the one where Cobra Kai returns and he gets to go back to the Valley Karate Tournament and he gets to skip the entire tournament and go straight to the final. And in movie time, we're to assume that only a year has passed, but in real world time,
like 6 years,
had passed.
And Daniel LaRusso looks like he's a fat 27-year-old.
He had a 5 o'clock shadow for fuck's sake.
Nice.
Yeah.
See, I don't remember.
He wasn't a baby. He had a full beard for fuck's sake.
But like Cobra Kai is so upset of they hate Daniel LaRusso and Mr. Miyagi so much that they bring in a ringer for the Valley Tournament to beat him. I mean, it's just like ridiculous.
That makes sense, though. And what's weird is correct me if I'm wrong, but the Valley Tournament's supposed to be the local karate kids that are in martial arts. And this guy's on the cover of Black Belt magazine called The Bad Boy of Martial Arts, and he gets to come and enter the tournament.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And although I will say this, the best scene in that whole third movie is when he goes to do the crane kick and the dude just clocks him one.
Yep.
that's pretty cool.
I've seen your video. I know how to block this.
Yeah. Like maybe not run into your foot. I don't know.
Yeah. That whole lead up where you're like, show me you're gonna be a crane is really a big giveaway.
You flinch and when he jumps and commits to it, just wait till he lands and clock him while he's standing on his opposite not strong leg. So so overall though, pros and cons of the show.
Pros of the show are that the character development over the 10 episodes is fantastic.
And I didn't realize they were going to release them all at once.
Yep.
It's a Netflix mentality.
Netflix mentality. Yep. I need to make sure I cancel that YouTube
red. What is the YouTube red cost?
I think it's $10. $10.
And
that's a steep price for
Karate Kid. There's other original shows on there. I mean, you get a 1 month free trial. So
I got to tell you, though, I don't want to ruin it for you. The Logan Powell thing, it's gone.
Logan Paul,
it's not going to happen, so don't get it, Bender.
Oh, he was my idol.
He was the golden child, but he gone, so that was not going to be there.
I guess also you get to DVR stuff on YouTube, so for me, if a little kid going on a road trip, I can download videos.
And okay, that's worth it.
It could be worth it.
I don't think it's a bad premise. I just don't. I think it's they have rolled it out years ago, and it's not...
It's Google, so you think that maybe some other shows will come out after it. But besides Netflix, like Amazon's got like two or three shows that are well-renowned.
Well, one's gone. Transamerica or whatever.
I wasn't even thinking of that one, but I was thinking of
Man in the High Castle. Yeah, really Man good. In the High Castle.
That one.
Sneaky Pete.
I don't know that it's Amazon?
Yeah, it's Amazon.
Okay.
Sneaky Pete.
I'm thinking Peaky Blinders, sorry.
That's Peaky Blinders, Netflix.
Netflix. And then The Handmaid's Tale, that's like their big one.
Yeah, Handmaid's
Tale. No, that's Hulu.
Handmaid's Tale is Hulu. Okay. That's, again, everybody's talking about cutting a cord because of how expensive cable's getting. I looked into it. You try to get all these channels, you're right back with cable.
Oh, yeah.
No, you have to rob Peter and pay Paul. So, like, I have Hulu, you have Netflix, and we trade. That's
how it works. Think they want to know that.
But that's how it works.
Well, that's how it works if you're doing that. I'm not saying any of us at this table are doing it.
No,
FCC, we're not doing that.
They assume it.
I don't think they assume it. I think that they're looking for ways of not having that happen.
Well, then drop it all down to $5 each and save us all a bunch of fucking trouble.
Well, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have Amazon, Bender. I'm going to have Hulu, and Bender, $10
is the new $5.
Well, they're going to start limiting the devices.
I'm going to close on a good Netflix story tonight, too. So anyway, go back to yours.
So back to the... It's great. I want people to... I want to talk about it. So one of you needs to
watch it. I'll watch it.
It's going to be hard for me to watch it because I don't envision paying for that.
How many?
It's a free trial. Just get rid of it after a month.
Oh, that's a good idea.
How long are the episodes?
10 episodes, or about 25 to 35 minutes each one.
Ooh, that's a huge commitment.
But
that's why it took him 13 years to marry Rachel.
Yeah, exactly. A little spoiler.
3 hours of my life. I don't have it.
Oh, I burned through it in one night or two nights.
Yeah.
They're really good. Spoiler alert.
Daniel LaRusso dies.
He does not die. The kids of each
who gets cancer?
Nobody dies.
Okay.
But
so the kids of
Daniel has cancer and overcomes.
So Daniel and Johnny's kids
are in it, and they play significant roles.
And they have cancer.
No one has cancer.
Are they opposite? Like, is Daniel's kid egotistical and kind of a bully, Johnny's kid kind of wimpy like Daniel?
Yeah, I'm not gonna spoil it.
Hey, that's a yes. I'll take it.
Does the ghost of Mr. Miyagi show up?
Six pack scale.
It's a 5, and here's the last thing. It's got one of the best heel turns in a TV show I've ever seen.
Okay.
A great heel turn.
Gonna watch it.
Those of you don't know.
And you will not see it coming until probably the last or second last episode.
I may do it.
Well, I know it's coming.
I may get the free trial, and me and Melissa may watch it. I don't know. I'll have to talk to her first and see what she says.
Yeah.
Okay.
Has not been renewed for a second season, but they have a very good cliffhanger.
While you're talking about streaming, my neighbor, my next-door neighbor, the teacher, did he do that on my birthday?
Streaming. I don't know.
Oh, no. I got it. I'm streaming. Yeah. Okay. It was a stretch, but you got it.
It was a stretch. I was going.
You still reached it. So he had his Netflix account taken over by Fedor. We don't know if it's Fedor or Fedor. He's Moroccan. So we're going to call him Fedor. The feminine version is Fedora, like a hat, from Morocco, took over his Netflix account. So he had to go in there and get a password recovery. So he changed his password. And they changed all of his name from, you know, person to person to person, changed it to Fedor and all this. Then he went in there and changed it all back, changed his password. All
right.
Fedor did it again. In Morocco, did it again. So they surmised that maybe he went in and put a recovery phone number in it, and Barry didn't think of that, so he changed it using the recovery phone number method.
Yeah.
So he called Netflix, told them what was going on. They said, well, let's change everything on it. Let's change your name. Let's change your credit card you use. Let's change your email. And and he did it. And a few days later, Fedor was back in there and changed it from Fedor to don't change the password, bitch. And then another profile was Gurr, which I hope Gurr's a girl. Yeah. I don't want that to be anger. I want that to be a real person. That like Fedor's sister's name's Gurr.
Yeah.
And I suddenly want to create a character named Gurr.
So how do you figure all this out? That it was...
It kept, you sign in your profile, and it keeps, keeps changing. Yeah. So he actually canceled his entire Netflix, and they're going to start it again under someone else's name and email and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then if he takes it back over, then it's a problem with his internet. Somehow they've got his internet. So
I had a similar issue with Netflix a couple months back where I got an email from Netflix saying that my email address had changed, and I thought it was bullshit. You know, like it was like a fake email coming in that I just ignored.
Yeah.
Well, then I got a new phone or something. Or I was trying to log Jeremiah in on his phone.
Yeah.
And it said my email address was wrong. I'm like, no, my email address is not wrong. So then I try to do my email recovery for my stuff, and it comes back that my email address is ilikebuttsandboobs@yahoo.com. That is not my email address.
So if you have anything to complain to Bender about, email ilikebuttsandboobs.
I was like, you can only be one. You can only be an ass man or a boob man.
That's what I thought. I'm like, I'm strictly an ass man, so this is a lie.
Yeah.
But anyways, I was like,
so you, that's a good point too. So you have signed, you know, you guys have access to our Twitter and all that stuff too. The problem is every time Bender signs in, I just have one request, just text me to tell me because I change it because it, like, it pops up in a different state, like the headquarters of whoever's a cell phone provider. So and I'm like, son of a bitch, and I change it. And then at this time I'm like, wait a minute, iPhone. Bender just got an iPhone. I bet he re-logged back in. And I remembered he had just asked me, so I called him and go, hey, did you log into our thing? He's like, yeah. And I go, you're gonna have to do that all over again because I just
do you tweet a lot for the account? I do not.
I don't tweet often, but I like to go in and like follow, and sometimes I'll tweet things to the account. But anyways, I got that I like butts and boobs, so I called Netflix and I was like, my email address got changed to I like butts and boobs. And the guy was like, I go, does this happen often? He goes, oh no, sir, that does not happen very often. He sent me a whole new thing, and like we did it. It went there, and it didn't get stolen again, but I did have to reach out to all the people who steal Netflix from me and let them know.
Before we talk about the pain in the ass that is Kanye West, we're going to talk about my pain in the ass. So I've got to get a colonoscopy here in a couple of weeks. And
did you look at the guy's fingers?
Yeah, it's my second one. It's the same doctor that did it before.
Because of your mom?
Because I have a history of cancer, and I had polyps bad when I got it last time. So, and so I get to, since I had polyps, there's prostate cancer, all the cancers in my family, I get to get one every other year.
Is that for the rest of your life?
Yes. Yeah.
So you had one before, or is this your first one?
It's my second one. The last one was significant enough polyps that they said I'm going to have to go back quite a bit.
I got a buddy whose dad and uncle have both died from prostate cancer, so he goes every year.
Oh, he told me that had we not got those polyps, the polyps I had taken care of last time, those most likely would have been cancer eventually. So,
like, doctors have told him he's got like a...
Hey, if you die of cancer, who gets to run the show?
I got you.
Say it now.
We may
drop that pin and we'll fight to the death right now.
Better's going to win.
We may actually, if I did, the podcast may start getting reviews because we just document my battle. You know, people eat that shit up.
Oh, they love that shit.
So that said, I called the woman and she's like, she's like, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Or she called me to schedule it. And I go, okay. She goes, you know, smoke? No. Do drugs? No. Methamphetamine? No. She started, and at the end of it, she goes, I got to tell you, Jeremy, you're kind of a boring guy, but that's not a bad thing. I was like, thanks. And she goes, we like boring here.
I'm going to get a vasectomy soon. You guys want to, like, live podcast my vasectomy?
I would love to live podcast.
I'll ask him to let him in.
That would be great. Hey, I just reached out.
Just make sure you're a grower, not a shower.
I'll smack it around a little bit before
Can't do it, man. There's no growing in that. When they start lasering and you see the smoke pop up, you're fucked.
Smoke pops up?
You guys just a little pfft.
I wonder if they got like a two-way mirror and you guys can go in and like just comment on it the whole time.
Oh God, we play-by-play his vasectomy.
Oh, that'd be so fucking good.
Come on, high five.
I'm leaving you hanging on that one.
I got it over here. It's our idea.
Tell me that's good radio.
That's exceptional podcasting.
I don't want to see either of your dicks. You know why?
Well, we won't look at his dicks directly.
I see enough dicks every Saturday morning when I have to take John to the YMCA pool and I have to walk through these old fucking guys and their balls.
Yeah, but my body's
out.
Like pretty decent.
Do you cover his eyes?
I mean, I got like an extra 10 pounds. Do
you probably have a porn dick.
Do you cover his eyes? He does not.
Well, I mean, Bender was banging some chick. Like, not that I know him. Bender's a good looking dude. Yeah. You're not a bad looking dude. Mm. I would not turn the porn off if you guys were in it. But these guys is the why.
Are we high fiving that?
Yeah, I think so. I guess.
Did Tom just admit he wants to have sex with us?
No, I'm just saying I want to turn the porn off.
He's not going to turn it down.
But the guys you see when you walk through, you see a bunch of elderly Ron Jeremy's in there.
So Bananas has had four.
It's a weird turn.
Bananas has had four swimming lessons at the Y. And I told Kelly after the first one, I don't want to take him through the locker rooms. I'm tired of seeing all these old balls. And somehow, I'm still the one who has to take him through there.
Because she can't go see the old balls.
Well, she can go through. Women don't do that. Women don't just fucking hang out and blow dry their dick.
I like to think they do. Well, they don't have dicks.
Unfortunately.
So.
They don't blow dry their pubes.
Pubes flapping in the wind.
All right. Well. Well, I don't even know what led us to this.
I'm just waiting for my kid to make a comment. I really want him to make a comment like, Daddy. All
right, I want to get into one thing before we call this quits. And I just want to say, did you listen to the new Kanye West T.I. song? Kanye's new single.
With T.I.?
With T.I.
No.
Okay, it's worth listening to.
Okay.
The whole song is Kanye defending himself about his Trump stuff.
Uh-huh. Wait. Is it like really shitty sounding? Like, the raps don't really make much sense?
Oh, well, see, I think if your traditional every other word has to rhyme, then no.
No, but, like, the flow doesn't work. It's not a traditional Kanye
song. Oh, I
think the flow
works. It sounds freestyled.
Okay, I did hear it, like, most of it, but the flow didn't work for me.
I liked it.
It wasn't heavily produced.
And what I liked is T.I.'s putting him in his place.
I didn't hear T.I. at all. I only heard some of Kanye.
And, it's weird, but, I mean, can we talk about how the ultimate crazy Kanye West has somehow went crazier this week, this last week? The nut job got nuttier. Is that possible?
Yeah, no, like, it was always a show.
Slavery was voluntary.
Yeah, 400 years, that sounds like a... That sounds like
you should have walked out.
Sounds
bold
like a choice.
Statement.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of lost his mind this week, and I just wanted to know if you heard the song. Since you didn't hear the song, we won't talk about it too much. But then just that whole thing was just a whack-a-doodle. Then he went on, what did he go on? He went on
TMZ, and that's where he said that.
Yeah.
And the guy, I follow him on Twitter now, but the guy who called him out was like, no, man, like, you live in a bubble, basically, and you're rich now. And
the TMZ guy stood up and was amazing.
Yeah, and I follow him on Twitter, and he's a good follow. But he was like,
name? Give him props.
I don't know.
That's not a good Twitter handle.
Must not be that good.
Not a good Twitter handle.
He called him out and said, you live in a bubble, and you can't say these things and do these things and expect the rest of America to fall in line. Like, you are not like the rest of Black America. You don't have oppression. You're already a millionaire.
And he grew up middle class, right?
Yeah, he grew up with a single mother.
He like Kobe Bryant. He wasn't poor.
He is one of those guys who made it and closed the door behind him. That's the way I look at it. Like, he's like, oh, cool, I got in. You guys find your own way. You know, and he's an asshole.
It is weird, though, in this country that a Black person who makes it is that Uncle Tom kind of stigma to them sometimes.
He didn't have that before. Now he does.
Yeah, now he's going
real crazy.
He gave
it to himself.
But is he an Uncle Tom?
No, I mean, first off.
No, he's a fucking nut job.
First off, after all we went on about
and I will say that
stuff earlier, we can't label people Uncle Tom. We just can't.
No, and I will say that I think that white people can label people, like Black people.
Do Black people consider him an Uncle Tom?
I don't think all of them, but I do think that the more famous ones are starting to turn on him.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, you can either be a Black guy that white people like and agree with, which obviously Kanye's falling that line of if you're extreme racist. But then if you're a Black person who's famous and does things that people don't like LeBron James, who's an extreme athlete and spectacular, but also has an opinion, a lot of white people are, the white right don't really like that. They want him to just play games, and he's not allowed to have an opinion.
Is it the white right, though, that's a problem? Or is it the Black folk who are just like, well, you can't have that opinion?
No.
Which first
one?
Off, it's
which one? LeBron James or Kanye West?
I'm just saying in general.
First off, if you did not know this, the number one seed Toronto has to change the name of the city to LeBronto because he owns them.
Nice. Yeah, he fucking ripped them up 2 years in a row.
He's up 3-0 on them now. Yeah. So and two game winning shots.
How are they? Like, I mean, I'm not Mr. NBA. How are they the like? How do they win so many games? I can't name one Raptor. I'm not the
biggest. Super young team and a team, a full team. They're an inexperienced version.
Drake really likes him, I think he writes all their theme songs.
So anyway, Kanye's got problems.
Yeah.
He got 99 problems, and all of them are him.
Yeah. He married a Kardashian, for God's sakes.
All he has to do is
shut his fucking mouth, and he'd be
just
fine.
Just rap. That's what I said, too. I said the ultimate problem with this guy is he's a very good rapper.
He's a great rapper, and he could be a spectacular influence.
He's no Kendrick Lamar. Big ups to him for winning.
And that's what that was my theory. My theory is the fact that Kendrick Lamar won
Pulitzer?
Pulitzer? It was a Pulitzer, yes. Yeah. He won a Pulitzer, and I read that whole article on how they decided to give him it because they were giving it to a traditional opera artist. They were originally going with these opera artists who were using hip-hop.
And he's significant.
And they're using hip-hop and his music specifically and their inspiration, and they're like, well, let's just give it to him.
Makes sense. Let's give it to the person they're inspired by.
Exactly, which is the point. And, like, I think that's the thing. Like, Kanye is... He's fallen out of the limelight. There's other guys who are more talented and better than him, so he's got to go one step crazy.
Okay, hold on. That's a subjective thing. Other guys are more talented because Kanye West is ungodly talented.
No, I agree.
And as good as...
But he lets his ego get in the way.
No. But you said other guys who are more talented. And let's value what their talent has got them. He's the best-selling hip-hop artist alive.
Right now.
Still?
Right now.
That
is active right now.
Like, are we talking like
he's
total albums?
Genre crossing.
Yeah, but we're talking about from college dropout. Yeah,
but College Dropout was his pinnacle, right?
Well, yeah. No. What was his first album? I can't remember. And then I think 808 and Heartbreak is his best album. Isn't that what it's called? I think that's his best album.
College Dropout is what he's most known for.
And that was, 2004?
Well, I mean, but since from then on, he's a multi-platinum artist every time.
But like,
no, and he's a spectacular
producer.
But
isn't Kendrick Lamar probably considered a bigger
deal?
Kendrick
Lamar has not... Well, he is getting more acclaim now, but that's just because he's also in his prime right now. Kanye, we don't know what Kanye is. I don't know
if I've ever heard a Kendrick Lamar song.
I just don't like when...
Oh, I love Kendrick
Lamar. I'm not ragging on Bender here, but I just don't like it when we say, well, you know, there's more talented people that are doing... Well, hold on.
Let me rephrase it. And he's no longer the lead in the limelight. I would put it in the lines where Kim Kardashian took over the spot from Paris Hilton.
Okay, yeah. So
I think he's freaking out a little bit.
A better way to say your argument, there's more people getting notoriety now.
Yeah.
And that bothers him.
Yeah, I think so. So it's Yeezus 2013, Life of Plabo was 2016, Graduation was 2007.
Okay.
808 Heartbreak was 2008, which is spectacular.
That's my favorite album.
College Dropout was 2004. I'm kind of all over the board.
My Beautiful Dark Twisted is
2010.
Now are you going just through the albums or just
discography? Could you not find
something that says chronological order?
Get the fuck out of here.
How do you not do every time?
Hey, yell at Google, don't yell at me.
I think every time we've ever asked him to look something up, he's never put it in chronological order.
Yell at Google then. It's not me, this is the other way.
We're all buried in the lead here.
16,
Mr.
7,
Whitebread
10,
over here.
4, 8.
Mr. Whitebread over here named the year that College Dropout came out. That's all that matters.
He just fucked you. He said, fuck both of you. You did nothing wrong. You did get the year right. Good for you.
No, he started talking shit.
he hates me because he knows who the real number two is.
Well, after that comment, there's no doubt. So, hey, let's wrap up. Let's take some parting shots. You got anything before we say bye?
No.
Tommy?
No science?
No.
I couldn't find a good science. We're going back to Mars, people.
All right. So, what are we doing on time?
We're well over, but that's fine.
I'm going to throw out something good and something sad. So, something good. I can't think of it right now. Something sad. Do yourself a favor. ESPN just put out something, a little 6-minute documentary about Stephen Piscotty, a former Cardinal that we trade away in the offseason, whose mom is suffering from ALS. I'll link it to the Facebook page. If you want to have yourself a good cry, we all need one sometimes.
I do like
it. It's a great, great feel-good story, and it'll make you feel good about our local team. get well, Yadier Molina getting a ball busted, no pun intended, is never a fun thing.
That sucked.
And
he had to have surgery, emergency surgery.
Yeah, and I miss hockey. Every day, my Johnny Bananas asks, Daddy, Blues, what's watch Blues? No, you son, can, not for another 6 months.
You can go home and watch the Rockets. They started 30 minutes ago.
Yeah. I don't do the NBA until the conference finals.
Cardinal game's about to start versus Cubs. The last thing I'm going to say before we're done, I bought Toys R Us is closing, and I've been benefiting because I went and bought Zelda for $20 off.
Ooh.
It's an amazing game on Switch.
Need to go up there.
It's awesome.
When's their last day?
I don't know. They've hung in there. Video games are 20% off. Software is 20% off. Systems are 5% off. Mm. But it was also an extra 10% off of your entire purchase that day, so I got it for 40 instead of 60.
We went like a month ago, and like toys and Legos were already well picked over.
Oh, dude, it is stocked. We went this 2 week or this not this past weekend, weekend before, and it was fully stocked.
Huh.
Place is fully stocked.
Well, video games or just everything?
Everything. They're going through their stock, so they get more in. I'm sure as stores close, they move them all over to that store and stuff.
It's sad.
You got her
a
bike there?
I got her a bike there, and I was like, they were like, it's going to be 20% cheaper next week, but there's no guarantee that you're going
to
get that bike.
Oh, by the way, you're a bitch for not going to that barbecue.
What? Oh, your barbecue?
It was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah, you were a bitch. You did drink for 2 days in a row, though.
Hard.
Wasn't my fault though.
No, and we were it was stay home time.
The barbecue was so.
Hey, by the way,
it's
the anniversary of Kerry Wood's 20K.
Put your fish in a pool away.
20K game, it's on TV right now. So that's it. We're done. We've rambled at the end, but I feel like it was a decent episode. I feel like you should all go see Avengers.
I had a fucking blast.
You should watch Cobra Kai, and you should download
Infinity Wars.
You should share this episode and maybe rate and review the son of a bitch. You guys are killing us.
Let's go, Blue.
Hold on to your butts.
And the music is starting.
I did for your last episode. You went home.